You're listening to Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark, in for April Bear. Detroit native Michael R. Jackson was awarded the Pulitzer Prize this year for his off-Broadway musical, A Strange Loop. Jackson's show is a musical about a character writing a musical. It is the first musical to win the Pulitzer without making it to Broadway. Jackson recently spoke with April Bear.
Michael R. Jackson is a graduate of Cass Technical High School in Detroit, and he joins us now. Michael, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It is so crushing to have learned this news that you won the Pulitzer for a play that so many Americans will not have a chance to see for a while. What has this been like for you?
I keep saying this like in interviews that I do. I feel like I'm Samuel Beckett from Quantum Leap. I keep like going from dimension to dimension, trying to get back home. And it's like every day is like a new sort of adventure. I'm in this pandemic mode one moment in the world and craziness and the darkness of that. And then like I get like this great news about this award. And then that takes me sort of emotionally into like a different space. And that's really exciting. And it's just like that constant traveling back and forth. But it's been great.
The show, A Strange Loop, comes out of the gate reminding us that as much as queer history is tied up in Broadway, there are certain kinds of queerness, black queerness, for example, that have not had the same treatment. And then the show proceeds to give us a narrative that imagines what that might look like in the persona of a young queer black man with the, I guess, utterly bankable name of Disney Usher. that's kind of a genius moniker for what you're doing here, and it seems like the kind of references that have been important to you.
Yeah, you know, this piece is, I don't think of it as autobiographical as much as self-referential.
Yeah.
Early on, I sort of decided that I needed to give myself some distance from being like, this is a story about my life, because I knew that it wasn't totally that. It was like a perception of life. As a younger person, there was a lot I was trying to figure out. It wasn't until I was much older that I had some distance from like sort of the struggles of my youth. Once I had that objectivity, it was like, this character is not Michael, but it's like a perception of Michael. And that perception of Michael is another person who has a famous name.
Usher has a job that goes right along with his name as well, so people are always yelling at him, Usher.
Right, exactly.
And he's a different kind of protagonist than a lot of theater goers have seen before. Could you tell us a little bit about the actor who originated the role, Larry Owens?
The actor who originated the role was Larry Owens, who was someone who I met through the Musical Theater Factory, which is a musical theater development hub here in New York City. And he sort of like raised his hand for the part at a point when I was still figuring out what it was. I kind of can't talk totally about him without talking about like the entire cast, just because it's seven principals are in the piece, and they sort of all inform the sort of tone and the sonic world of it. And so he was just sort of one of many colors in sort of trying to tell this story about selfhood and black queer selfhood.
The other cast members that you say are sort of a Greek chorus playing many roles that reflect interior monologues for Usher, as well as other real-life characters that you need them to portray.
Yeah, the other characters are Usher's thoughts. And so, though Usher is the protagonist of the show, his thoughts, they're mirroring back on him, and he's mirroring back on the thoughts, which is why it's always important to me to stress that the show is, in fact, about these sort of seven black queer bodies on stage. And they are there to, like, express like his deepest sort of desires and self-hatred and his humor, his critique of, you know, culture, of black culture, of white culture, of white theater culture, of like, it's just every sort of thought that makes up who he is as a person. They sort of make up all of that, and all those things make up him.
There's a lyric in one of the songs called Today, and it goes, I hate days like today days when I face myself but see the same reflection, someone who's stuck rewriting and stuck in his own way, someone who has to edit every imperfection. Could you talk a little bit about the tension between the joys of reinventing oneself and the feeling that we may not be sure if we want to change ourselves in ways that might smooth over our rough spots?
If I talk about my own experience, as a young person, I was just like so convinced every day was like such a struggle and a challenge to feel like I belonged in the world. And so I would always give myself these little challenges to like see if I could somehow win the day. And inevitably I would fail, you know, because like I was always setting myself up these like incredibly high bars. And the reason why I was doing that all came from the same place, is that I felt that I wasn't enough. And that something was wrong with me that needed to be fixed. And this idea, I think, that something is wrong with you is something that probably a lot of people can relate to on some level, even if they don't name it. Because, like, there's all these things that you do in your life that are you sort of betraying your own integrity or your own boundaries just because you think that if you do it, that it's going to prove something greater about yourself. And so Usher had to get to a place in the piece of realizing that nothing was wrong with him. And in that moment is when he actually does change.
When you were coming up in Detroit, you were really involved in the Inside Out Literary Arts program. Could you talk a little bit about how that shaped the direction of your writing?
Yeah, it was really important because I was a student at Cass Tech in Detroit. And my creative writing teacher, Ms. Thompson, immediately, you know, brought in Inside Out into our school, and we got to work with writers in residence. And I kept creative writing as my elective for all 4 years of high school. And so I got to work with like all these writers in residence, one of which was this guy named Peter Marcus. And he really challenged me to push the boundaries of what I was writing about, because up until that point, I was kind of like trying to copy Maya Angelou. And I love Maya Angelou, but like I had a lot that was going on inside of me. I was like coming to terms with the fact that I was gay. And like a lot of that writing sort of germinated in Pete's class as a result of Inside Out. And Inside Out also let me see all these writers writing professionally. And I think it was the thing that like, in addition to talking to my queer writing teacher and saying to her, like, do you think it's a pie in the sky idea to want to be a writer professionally? And she said, no, that like was just what I needed to hear as like an impressionable teenager to decide that I was going to pursue writing professionally in some way.
The musical is so inventive and has some experimental elements to it. Is there a through line from the way you started thinking about creative writing at that time to the form that we now see in this Pulitzer winning play?
Well, I think definitely in terms of content in one way, because like I started writing this piece as a monologue initially. I didn't think it was going to become a musical. I was about 21 years old and I was about to graduate from college, and I didn't know what I was going to do with my life with a playwriting degree. And I was writing a lot about what it felt like to be a young Black gay man who thought life was terrible. And in many ways that mindset was reflecting back on when I was like a teenager and sort of also struggling internally with like how to be in the world. The music of it evolved in lots of different ways because I didn't know that it was going to become a musical. So like a lot of the music comes from, you know, I grew up playing at church for choirs. I like had a deep obsession with Tori Amos's music that I do to this day. Like I took those influences. I took the sort of gospel music influences that I grew up with, the Motown, the Philadelphia sound, like all that 70s sort of soul music that's in there. Like, and then I went and studied musical theater at NYU's graduate musical theater writing program. All those elements, because this show is about this protagonist sort of writing himself into existence, everything that was influencing me was also influencing him and his creations and my creations.
What does it mean to have this musical, which is so centered around insecurities and feelings of being an outsider, to see that narrative win a Pulitzer?
it confirms that what I sort of had been doing all along was the right thing to do. Because I never thought that this musical would ever be produced. And then it was. But in the gap when I thought it wasn't going to be produced, I just was like, well, since it'll never be produced, I can just write it however I want. I can be as honest, I can be as daring, I can be as truthful, and I should be, as possible. And that sort of integrity, I think, really served the piece, because I was never censoring or editing myself with how much I would say the unsayable. And so I felt like when I got the Pulitzer, like, the culture had responded to just the truthfulness of the piece, which I think all theater should celebrate anyway, like truthfulness, just like being honest,
yeah,
not trying to like appeal to the masses or to be cute, you know, like to just say what you mean what you say. And like A Strange Loop is very much a say what you mean what you say piece.
And let the world make of it what it will.
Yes, and you don't have to like it. And that's something that, like, is, you know, a really important thing for me. I don't think that everyone has to like everything.
Right.
And you should have a choice to, like, come to it on your own terms and meet it wherever you are. You know, and that was very much how we approached the production as well. Because, like, some might have thought, oh, this is, like, this very black, queer piece. And so you have to kind of try to make it appeal to that audience. But I sort of realized, you know, getting ready for the production is like, no, there's something for everyone to learn about this black, queer person. And yet that specificity contains universality. And I wanted to invite the audience to lean in and to care about what was happening.
You make no bones in the play about your own dislike for Tyler Perry's work. And it's funny to hear you say that you also did not want to write something that was written to be acceptable to an audience in the way that Tyler Perry writes to a certain audience. I hadn't thought of it like that.
Well, yeah, and it's like really funny because he actually called me
the other day. No, he did not, really?
He really did.
What was that conversation like?
It was a short but respectful, short and respectful conversation. He said that he was going to beat my ass, but that he also congratulated me on winning the Pulitzer. And like, and he like wanted to know about the historical nature of the win, and like, you know, it was short and sweet. I encouraged him to buy the cast album, which he did, because he had not seen the show. He only had heard about it. And I just have to be like really clear about this. Because in the show, Usher has a distaste for Tyler Perry's work for various reasons.
In no small part because his parents love Tyler Perry and don't understand why he can't write a show like Tyler Perry's shows.
Right. But like the thing of it is that like the issue with Tyler Perry's work is more to do with the actual content and craft of it. And Usher and I are people who care deeply about how things are made. And it's not just that like, oh, this is something that's popular and makes a lot of money, so therefore it must be good. And that's something that I think is like a very pervasive idea in our culture that I find very bothersome and loathsome. I'm not one of those people who like is so high-minded and bougie about who he's writing for or like, or the fact that he writes broad comedies or anything of that nature. It's just that, like, I feel like it just needs to be done well. And it needs to make sense.
Did your heart just, like, go through the floor when you realized that he was calling you?
Not exactly. Just because since, you know, this piece got produced, it was almost like the piece became magnetized. And all these sort of people who I had idolized or loved from afar or whatever sort of came to it. So when he called me, it just felt like this is the moment when, like, after all these years of this song Tyler Perry writes for life existing in this musical, finally he hears about it. Because all during the show, when I would do talkbacks, people would be like, does Tyler Perry know about this? Does Tyler Perry know about this? Have you heard from him? Are you scared? And I was like, no, I'm not scared. I mean, I have a critique and I'm like making it. And that should be fine. Like the fact that I even have a critique, I think, is says that his work is of some importance.
Yeah.
And the truth of it is, like, the song Tyler Perry Writes for Life is literally about Usher saying to his agent, ew, I don't like Tyler Perry's work and I don't want to write for him. And then the ancestors rising up out of their graves to admonish Usher and say that he's an idiot.
All these icons of black culture.
Yeah, like Harriet Tubman and Whitney Houston and all these people rise up out of their graves to be like, are you insane? And like, who do you think you are to thumb your nose at this important black man who is writing these stories for black people? So like, in a weird way, the song actually honors him, though the satire of it makes it clear what Usher's perspective is.
You know, I could go on with you for hours. The play is amazing. I did want to ask, both your parents still live in Detroit and you're in mm-hmm. New York. And I just wanted to sort of check in and see what it's like for your family navigating this moment right now. Both cities have been hit so hard by the virus.
Yeah, so, I mean, luckily, my family has been very safe. I did have two relatives who were affected by COVID, but they're both now recovered and fine. My parents are, you know, in the house I grew up in, and I'm in New York. I know a lot of people here in New York who have gotten sick, but, again, thankfully, they've all recovered or on their way to recovery. And so my little world so far is okay. My parents are on cloud nine about the Pulitzer and about the show. They saw it and they loved it. It's been really exciting to watch the joy that they get out of this.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the theatrical community have sort of been celebrating my win as their win. And I truly just, I love that. That to me is one other layer to this that makes this whole experience like more bearable.
Well, Michael R. Jackson, thank you so much for talking with us and congratulations. We can't wait for the time when this can be produced more widely and we can see even more of your work.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
Michael R. Jackson is the author of A Strange Loop, which took a Pulitzer this year for achievement in drama.